And good evening to you as well, sir. Yeah, I figured I'd I had the mobile phone here connected most of the day, just listening here, working the final bugs out of the last configuration on the new media server here. About 7 terabytes, about 7 terabytes of storage here on a home media server. So definitely not going to run out of space here anytime soon. At least not for the foreseeable future. Anyway, hopefully we can get a good active session on the go here this evening, like we did this morning. It was fantastic, I must say. Quite entertaining that there this morning. Anyhow, just wanted to jump in as well, make a record of the South Tower's number. I guess is 2130. And we've got overcast skies up here this evening and real cold. It's like negative 10 degrees Celsius, so definitely a chilly one tonight, a night for the electric companies to pick up their pittance and extra electricity usage for the heaters. Nothing else there. Back to you, the O1UKZ.
Wow, 7 terabytes. Holy cow, Mr. Science. That is really... a healthy amount of storage. That really is. I have a very good friend who is the IT for a big infrastructure engineering company, and he's like, you know, the network geek of all time. He's got his home network is comparable to any business network out there. It's really impressive stuff, but I don't even think he has 7 terabytes of media storage. So that's great. That's absolutely awesome. We, here in Syracuse, we are in Syracuse, New York, and for probably the, this is going on to its second month now, where we have not exceeded freezing. We have not had a high above freezing for a month and, you know, maybe 2 weeks, something like that. Well, a month and a week, anyway. And it's just beginning to show signs of warming up starting tomorrow. So, you know, it's an exciting period for us. For the first time in recent memory, the low tonight will not be in the teens, or certainly not in the single digits, or below zero, where it's been a goodly amount of time. But we're actually seeing a low of 24 degrees. Not a lot of change right now, because we're at 27. But it's a hopeful time here in Syracuse. There was a little touch of spring in the air today, so it's kind of neat. But great to have you along with us tonight, Daryl, and I do hope you'll recheck. We're going to move it along to VLC, and Carl, come on aboard.
Well, good evening, South Cars. Hello there, Mr. Gary. I want to tell my old net partner, Dennis, there, I feel for you, buddy. I feel for you. We in the little town of Warner Robins had a four-alarm structure fire where we had to call for mutual aid from two counties to get a couple of some apparatus down here. So we will gladly take your retirement patrol day for what we've had in the fire department today. I tell you what, Salcar's number, I believe, I haven't had to use mine in a long time, is 12. Gary, you have to check it for me because I don't remember it off the top of my head. I know we don't have to tell you what it is anymore, but I still like to. We had a couple of days this week of warm temperatures where we almost made it to 80. So now that we're back down to 60, we don't know how to act because we had a couple of days of being able to wear shorts there. And I just sometimes don't know how to act. I hate cold weather. When my family moved over to the United States from Britain, my dad swore he wasn't going to live anywhere where we had to have snow. And I feel for you guys up there in Syracuse, where I don't know how bad, you said you didn't get any measurable snow. I hate to be you guys that are over there where all that blizzarding has been going on. All right, well, I'm going to turn it back to Net Control, and I just wanted to jump in here and say hello because I haven't been here in a while. So we'll say 73 to the group. KJ4VLC, back to Net Control.
Well, thanks, Carl, for checking in here. I have to look up that South Cars number for you. I did a quick search, but I didn't come up with a hit. But I'm using the other piece of software that we can do to retrieve that. So if I can find it, I'll let you know about it. But yeah, it has been a very, very, very cold month. I have lived in Syracuse all my life, and you know, I've seen some winters that that would make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I mean, of course it would stand up, it'd be frozen. But this one's been really something because of the extended periods of cold that we've had, and the fact that because of those extended periods of cold, the snow that would, you know, melt during a quick warm-up or whatever has not done that. So we have had 3 feet of snow on the ground for about a month and a half now. There's an awful lot of snow out there for this time late in the year. So it's kind of impressive. It really is. So I do think, though, there is a there's a light at the end of the snowy tunnel, and I think we're going to be okay. Looks like we're just starting to wake up, and maybe have a little bit of spring to look forward to. So that's cool. We're all happy about that. But living in Syracuse, you tend to temper that happiness until you see it. But great to have you along tonight. Hope you'll check in later. We will go out to Ohio right now. And my buddy Rick, VXP, come on aboard.
It's good to hear you, Gary. KC2RMO, N1PXV. Yeah, we had a 43-degree temperature today. Wow. Had about 7 inches of snow on the ground prior to that. Now we got about 3 inches. And current temperature, 38. And it's dark out. Wow. Tomorrow is supposed to be another 42-degree day. So I have a feeling that's starting to kind of indicate, well, no more cold weather. Starting Monday, we go a solid week of 50-degree-plus weather. For a high, and believe it or not, not one night below freezing. Ooh, I think we will thaw out, and kind of looking forward to it. Actually, it goes from Monday to Monday. Not one night of freezing, and daytimes, we might even hit 60 throughout that time. So I look at it, and I say, well, that's about 11 days prior to the first day of spring, and not surprising. But, you know, it's just, we seem to get that usually about a week before the season officially starts. We tend to get a little bit of warm weather. Kind of good to see the spring birds out there chirping away, and we've had several robins, even in the coldest. They tended to stick around, and I could not believe it. Let me drop for a second. You know, and over this past week, we had about 3 inches of rain over about a 30-hour period, continuous rain. And that was followed by about 7 inches of snow. So we've gone, and in that time, it did get up to about 53 or 54 when it rained. So it wasn't really a cold rain, but just the kind of rain you would stay in and say, well, you don't have to go anywhere, don't do it. And even the snow wasn't really that bad, but winter did kind of hit us with a little reminder the other morning of 3 below 0 temperatures, and I said, that's got to stop. But I did notice all across the country, there's no major storms anymore. So spring is definitely working its way. And I'm tired of hearing all these winter storm names. I had a feeling it would stop sometime, but kind of glad it's pretty well died out. And just have to bear with the cold and thaw out it gradually. Don't like to see any fast thawing because that's usually the indication of freezing, flooding. But doesn't look like it's going to be hit here, so I'm kind of happy with the warm temperatures. In fact, actually, today it warmed up enough I had my windows open for a short time just to get a little fresh air and really enjoyed it. The old heat did not like it, but hey, we got to deal with it. Good little group. I hope everybody you get more check-ins. And 1GXB back to KC2RMO.
Hey, thank you, Rick. You know, it's funny. First of all, I love hearing from you because I know what tomorrow's weather is going to be. You're like, your weather's like 12 hours behind us, so you know I know what's happening, you know, or what to expect. It's funny that you mentioned a robin because we have like this this insane bird feeder out here in our yard. I call it the tree of life. It's like we have so many different kinds of birds that go and feed here. We have tons of cardinals, tons of blue jays. We have woodpeckers. We have I don't even know, you know, half the varieties. There's a lot of sparrows and there's chickadees and all these. I mean, just tons of different types of birds. I've never seen a variety of birds like what we get in our yard. And I'm walking out to the truck today, we were walking out to Steph's car, and I could have sworn I heard the sound of a robin. And I'm saying, no, it's too early, and there's 3 feet of snow on the ground. It can't be a robin, you know. But maybe, you know, we might have had, like, an early visitor. So that is a very hopeful thing, you know. The red robin is bobbing along. That's okay. That is something. So, yeah, it is encouraging. It is encouraging not to see any major storms out there. We're flirting with the 40s for a couple of days this week. There was just a, you know, that scent, that feeling, you know, that you get when spring's coming. When we were out today, you could kind of sense it. So slowly but surely, it's coming. So that's all right. Great to have you aboard tonight, sir. And hope we'll hear from you later. We will move it along to be or not to be. Bob, come on aboard.
Yeah, good evening, Gary and Annette. Bob here in Penfield, New York, NS2B. Anyway, I guess my life story is up until fall or winter, the beginning of winter, I'd gotten kind of bored with ham radio, and I didn't know what to do with myself. So I'd been interested in D-Star, so I bought a dongle a month or so ago, and which gives you the equivalent of like Echolink on D-Star. And discovered that there's actually quite a lot of D-Star activity, so I ended up buying a D-Star handheld and putting together a D-Star hotspot, which is kind of like a link node, Echolink link node, so I can wander around the house with my handheld and talk on D-Star. And while there on D-Star, I met some guys that told me that Packet was not dead. Now here in the Rochester area, the only packet that really thrives is APRS. And, well, that's not the packet I'm interested in. I kind of like the keyboard chat stuff. Well, I found out that there's actually quite a lot of packet activity around the world, just not in Rochester. So I set up dug out my TNCs and set up a VHF node here to do packet. So anyway, I guess I've babbled for long enough now, and you'll discover that about me. I do babble a lot from time to time. Anyway, KC2RMO, NS2B.
Well, Bob, that is the one thing that we encourage on this net is babbling. It is a rag too, so it's okay to babble, and I certainly am no stranger to that myself. So. You know, if the hook comes out, you know, I'm good at dodging it. Hey, you're in Penfield. You're not far from me at all. We're in Syracuse. So that is great to hear a fellow central / upstate New Yorker. You're a little more towards western New York, of course, but just great to have another New Yorker here. I you know, it's funny, you're doing D-Star, one of our great all-time South Cars people, WQ1I, Paul is into D-Star, and he's in Connecticut. He he's really involved in that. And I don't know an awful lot about D-Star. I've had it explained to me, and nobody has ever really given me painted a good picture of D-Star. I'll tell you one thing. Packet is not dead. I do HF work with Packet all the time. The thing that I've been playing around with lately, let me just buy a nickel because I'm going to time something out. It's KC2RMO. The thing that I have been playing around with in the past couple of weeks is RMS Express, which is sending email via radio, and you can do this HF, VHF, UHF, any frequencies that you choose. There is likely to be a server where you can do that, and I've been sending email successfully via HF, and it's really cool. It really is. There's a software TNC with this thing, and it does some really amazing stuff. You can even send images with this thing. It's slow. It is as you might expect. It is slow. But it is really kind of cool. It's a fun thing to play with. But I can't do that anymore because as of yesterday, my FTDX 1200, my less than 3-month-old FTDX 1200, decided to get cranky again. And I will tell you the sad, sad story of that. But I did want to ask, have you ever... fooled around with it. It's called RMS Express, and there's another one too that allows you to. I can't remember the name of it right now. That allows you to send email via HF. Have you ever experimented with that? Back to you, N2SB from KC2RMO.
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I have, and I guess the original program I might have been called Airmail. And then the current one, I guess, is RMS Express. Now, currently, my RMS Express setup just runs over the Internet and just goes over Telnet to the CMS gateways or whatever. I was pondering setting up, you know, becoming a sysop and running it across HF, but I got out to their website and looked at their rules, and they really kind of want you to run 24/7, and quite frankly, I don't run my setup 24/7. I prefer shutting it off if I'm not here to pay attention to it. Back to you, KC2RMO, NS2B.
NS2B from KC2RMO. I tell you, I am either doing something wrong, and it's working, or what. I did not have to go in as a sysop to use this on HF. I just set up my account, and I learned how to use the software and, you know, how to make the whole thing work. There's not, and I'm sure you came into the same problem when you started fooling with it. There's not a lot of resources for this. It's kind of vague in the stuff that you find on the Internet. So I did a lot of trial and error. Finally figured out how to get the thing to work, and it works great, you know, when it goes. But there was a learning curve, that's for sure. So I didn't set up as a sysop, and I am able to send emails, and it's pretty cool. Maybe I've stepped on somebody's toes. I don't know. I hope not, but we'll see. But it's just one really cool thing to play with, and I do love. I work a lot of digital modes. I'm 3 countries shy of doing 25 countries on JT65 right now. So I was kind of hoping I would have had that wrapped up, but the radio died, you know. So that's not going to happen this month. But I do like working Olivia a lot. So I'm a big digital person as well as I obviously have to have some time behind a microphone, and that means a lot to me too. But it's cool stuff. It's a lot of fun, and it's just it hasn't gone away. You know, every now and then you hear somebody talking about, oh, Packet's dead. No, it's not. It's very, very, very much alive. and it's just a ton of fun. So if you have not, and this is for anybody listening, if you have not delved into this, check it out. There's a world of really cool stuff. Bob, I don't want to capitalize or just, you know, hog the conversation with you, but I did want to get back. Are you active in the Rochester area groups there? They've got some pretty good radio clubs up there.
Well, I am a member of Rah-Rah, but to be honest with you, I my working hours tend to prevent me from really getting out to the Ham Fest or to the meetings or anything, so I keep my membership active for the in the hopes that one day I'll have time to go do some of that. But no, I don't get to those meetings as much as I'd like to. But speaking of JT65, I don't know how many countries I've done, but I have about 650 unique contacts on JT65. That was my mode of choice until I had this fit of doing different stuff this winter. So that's kind of how that went. And regarding the SysOp thing, you know, I might have missed an important point there. I was trying to connect to the CMS gateways through the BPQ switch that I used to control my TNCs, but you know, that's probably the wrong direction. I should probably just go out over HF and just do a regular CMS connect that way using RMS Express. So, you know, sometimes it takes talking to people to figure out what you're doing wrong, and I think that's what I was doing wrong. I was using the wrong program. So anyway, back to you, KC2RMO, NS2B.
NS2B from KC2RMO. Yeah, that's the way I'm doing it. I'm just using the program, and the beauty of this program is that it actually tells you, there's a feature there that tells you where the propagation is the best from where you are. So it's, you know, and you're there, you know, it's like, okay, here's the stations on 30 meters, here's 20, here's 15, you know, and it's great. You know, you just pick the one that works the best, click it, it locks it in, tune your radio and hit the switch, and that's it. It's that easy and very, very effective, but it does require a working radio. And let me buy a nickel, and I'll bore everybody with the sad story of my FTDX 1200. This is KC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we're on the Saturday Night Rag Chew. It's an open rag chew. You can talk about anything that you want. It's just a time for us to get together and just shoot the breeze, which is pretty cool. Not a formal net at all, it's great to have everybody who's checked in checking in, and we certainly invite rechecks and new checks and anything else but bounce checks. It'll be fine. But tell you the story of what's happening. I have a wonderful wife who got me a wonderful radio for Christmas. I got an FTDX 1200. It was a radio that I wanted for quite some time. It's, you know, it rates well, it looks cool, it has all these insane features. It's just, I love this radio, you know. About a month ago, it started developing a problem where it wouldn't tune. You could turn that VFO, it would move a couple of hertz, and it wouldn't go past that. And I'm like, you know, so I got on the phone or on the email with Yaesu tech support, and they're telling you do this, do that, and the other thing. Of course, nothing works, so it's like, okay, send it in for a warranty repair. Fine. I was not pleased about having to pay the freight out to California to have them look at this. It's a warranty, and it's on a less than 3-month-old radio, but, you know, that's what they want to do. That's the way you got to play it, I guess. So, long story short, I'm getting ready to box this thing up, and I said, hey, I'm going to turn it on one more time, see what happens. Well, wouldn't you know it, I turned it on, and it cleared. It worked fine. You know, I'd reset this radio 5 times. I'd done everything, you know. But it works. I said, well, okay, problem solved. You know, I don't know, some glitch, some funny thing going on. It's all, you know, this thing has so much complexity to it, anything could have gone wrong. I might have looked at it sideways, you know, and it's working fine. Well, 2 weeks later, it's doing the same thing over again. I'm, you know, back and forth with Yaesu again, and I'm going to have to pay to ship that thing out to California. But that's the deal, you know, so I bought the radio. But I don't know. Maybe I should have looked at a Kenwood. Who knows? We're talking about any old thing, and we're going to take some check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we're looking for check-ins on the Saturday Night Rag Show.
Sierra United November.
UKZ recheck.
Okay, couple of check-ins that time. So, hello there, Kathy. It is good to hear your voice. Come on aboard.
Well, Gary, it's sure definitely good to hear you start this session tonight. And I will tell you, you know, I thought this was a fantastic session as it started, so I decided to hit my record button so I can listen to it once again because it's usually very quiet on a Saturday evening. So thank you for being there tonight. And I'm glad you found the time to get away from those studies to join us. We'll tell you our weather right now. I think it's about 72 right now. Gary, it was 74 today, but it was a very yucky day, as Gordon will say. It was rainy, but I was able to hang out the clothes and dry them quite a bit. But who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But on Tuesday, and you know, Roger, who is here in Florida, RFJ, he's not connected anymore, but it's going to be 84 and 85 and 86 next week, so we're looking forward to that. Let me pause just for a moment, Gary. I have some comments for you. I do want to thank everyone for being here tonight. Seeing Dennis connected tonight's a real pleasure for us. Talked to him this morning. I think he was connected this morning, and he's connected again this evening, and I will tell him, if he's still listening, it's good to have a quiet session in Indianapolis because, you know, I went to the local store. It's called Winn-Dixie down here in Martin County in Florida. And all I saw, Dennis, was 10 squad cars in that area. I'm not sure what was going on, but they had several people in their squad cars. So good news for Indianapolis, not so good news for Martin County. But Gary, that external drive that we talked about still is not working and, you know, not making me happy. And we're having one of those sessions coming up on our TIN about computers and all that stuff. So I may be sending that to you just to see if you can tear that apart and see what's going on. But I did want to check in the background, listening and making some dinner. But I did want to say hi to everyone that's listening out there. And hopefully they're having some great evening and some great weather. So I'll turn it back to you, Gary. Just want to thank you for being here tonight and being our active NCS. So back to you, KC2RMO from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Hey, thank you, Kathy. Send that thing up here. I will perform the chant over it. Wichitai tai gimara orihito orihito he 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 no. I will do that. And if that doesn't work, I'll tear the thing apart and fix it, or attempt to anyway. Let's see what we can do. It may meet the same fate as the last one. Who knows? But it's worth a try. And you know, that's what we'll do. If we can resurrect it, it's a done deal. You know, we'll get it. And if I can resurrect it, I will back up everything on a separate media too, so that, you know, you have that to go from in case something fails in the future. Sounds like you have about the same luck with external drives as I do with HF rigs. So it's not a good track record. That's not good at all. But glad to hear your weather's doing so good. We're getting excited because it's going up into the 40s up here. And Kathy has one more comment on that external too. So we're gonna come back to Kathy, and then we're gonna go to back to Daryl. So Kath, K6SU1, come on aboard again.
Well, Gary, I wasn't able to tell you all about the external. I told you about the Dell that went dead. I went out and bought a new one at our local Office Max. I think it's a WD, a Western Digital. Sort of was able to retrieve a lot of information, put it on that external drive, and guess what? Before 7 days happened, I could not retrieve that brand new one. They did replace it, But guess what? I lost all of my information, and even more than before. So, when we talk about external drives, I'm not a happy camper at this point. But, you know, we have to do what we have to do. Day and week has been going on. Starting this next week, Gary, we start testing down here in Florida. And it's just a testing mode until about May. So it's a real hectic time for us down here. And we need that warm weather. We need you to close those garage doors. Keep it up in your area so we can see that bright sunshine. When we talk about my name, you know, Gary, I'm not helping here. I'm not bringing sunshine. So I'll turn it back to you. Thanks for being here once again, and thanks for allowing me to come back aboard.
I think what you need, I'll leave the door open, but you need to have a giant fan, you know, to blow that warm air up here. We'll be okay. But it is so good to have you along, and, you know, I know you're cooking. And I hope you get a chance to come in a little bit later on. I'll tell you, you know, with external drives and it seems like all drives nowadays, you know, it used to be a Western Digital was, you know, they had their fans and a Mac store had their fans and, you know, whatever, you know, every manufacturer had their fans, and you know there was actually a distinct difference in performance between drive A and drive B. But now they're all uniform; they all stink. They're terrible. The failure rate on these things is crazy, and you know we rely on these things. So I know, and I've never really looked at this because I don't use. You know, I'll back up. I back up my stuff, obviously, but I don't rely too heavily on external media. And what I do, what I also do is I know I'm one of the free cloud storage vehicles, and I can't remember whether it's the Google or Dropbox or whatever. I have the Microsoft one. I've got Google. I've got the Dropbox. I have so much cloud storage out there. I have no idea what I've got. I really don't. And they do make cloud storage managers. Let me buy a nickel. But they do have a feature. One of those has a feature where you can back up your backup, and you can put that image up on the cloud, so that if you have something drop dead on you like that, then you can recover that. You know, you have at least that much to go back. And I'm not sure which one it is. I want to say Google, but I could be totally wrong on that. But something to check out anyway. See what you think about that. Hope you check in later on, or after dinner, or between bites, or whatever. But Daryl's out there, UKZ. Let's have him come aboard right now.
Okay, QSL Gary, and thank you very much again. Yeah, a couple of things to mention, I suppose. I'm going to touch on the external drive thing and the cloud storage. I also have a smorgasbord of those accounts. I think I have two or three different Dropbox. One has 100 gigs. Another couple have just 2 gigs each, just those trial ones. And I've activated several tablets over the last year, and they give you 20 gigs or 50 gigs added onto your Dropbox account and whatnot. But I recently started using this new one called Mega. And M-E-G-A, and it has an Android platform for tablet backup, and they give you 50 gigs for free to start off, which is good. You know, 50 gigs is a nice chunk of storage, so that's a good one that I've recently started using, and it'll allow you to back up anything and you know, use it on your PC through a web browser or an Android tablet, or maybe there's an app for iOS. I really don't know. I'm not an Apple fan at all, so I don't know what's available for iOS devices. But then in regard to the radio incident you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned you run you liked digital modes, but you also liked some microphone time. Have you tried D-Star? And that has gotten really big in months of late over HF. You know, everything from 10 meters right down to 160. You can do D-Star with the new D-Star multiband radios, you know, VHF, UHF, the ICOM IC9100 even does we're up to 23 centimeter, I believe, 1.2 gigs on D-Star all the way down to 160 meters. You get the data side of it, of course, because they report your GPS data. The radios have built-in GPSs, and they report your GPS data out with your key-ups when you transmit, and radios on the other end get the report right on their screen how far you are from them and, you know, how far they are from you and your direction and heading and speed and location, and all of this nice stuff comes right up on the displays of the radios. And, of course, you get a transmit message. Your call sign is auto-transmitted over the air. So you get that data side, but then you get this crystal-clear voice side as well that's actually transmitted in digital data over packets. So with very minimum power, you can shoot a digital voice signal far better and far clearer than you could ever do it on AM or sideband. So that's might be something to think about to combine both of your interests when it comes to voice and digital data as well. So, and with the various D-Star repeaters around, I mean, you can work the world now over voice over IP right from a handheld without needing to go and set up, you know, any of these TNC setups, you know, that they put on the repeaters for Echolink nodes. I'm just going to drop it for a second. These setups that, you know, when you configure an Echolink node to work over RF, there's none of this stuff. It's just pretty much straightforward, and an excellent setup, even on 2 meter and 70 centimeter, you know, for voice. And all of that data I mentioned is transmitted through repeaters and simplex nodes and all kinds of other things as well. So you get that data aspect on all of the bands. So that's an interesting mode. I don't know if you've tried or not, but yeah. Anyway, that'll be it for me for now, I suppose. I'll probably jump back in when I get a couple of more ideas float into my head. This is the O1UKZ.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. Well, you know, I have asked a lot of questions about D-Star, and I really I have, you know, an overview of it in my head, but I've never seen it in action, and I think that's kind of what I need. You know, WQ1I, Paul, who is one of the sysops and a board member here, is real big on that. And I, you know, I wish he was here because I'd love to hear some input from him on it as well. It's really cool stuff, the way I understand it, and from what you've just told me, it really is something that I'd like to investigate. I think, you know, I've got I've certainly don't think I'll be going the HF route with a 3-month-old HF rig. So I'm not going to go and reinvent the wheel on that. But, you know, handheld, yeah, I can, you know, certainly maybe look forward to that. It's really cool. I'll tell you, you mentioned digital voice. I am a big fan, and I don't know if you're familiar with ESSB, where, you know, you have improved audio, almost broadcast quality audio on your regular voice signal. The FTDX1200 is capable of doing that without modification. You can put it into a mode that gives you an upper end of 4K. Of course, you're an AM broadcast signal tops out at 5K, so it's pretty close. And you know, you can jazz up your signal with a little processing and come fairly close to an AM broadcast signal. It sounds real good, and it's SSB. Let me buy a nickel. So I have been doing that. I have I'm still kind of tweaking out the best combination for it. I'm running the old Heil ICM mic that I used to use on my 718, and I'm putting that through an equalizer, and I'm using the onboard compression for the FTDX. It sounds real good, but the problem is my radio's not working, so you know, I can't go any further than that. But digital voice is where I wanted to comment on. There is a there are nets, and there is a software that allows you to use digital voice on HF, and apparently, I want to say it's big on 80 meters, or at least common on 80 meters, and I think there's some 40 meter nets as well. I haven't done it yet. I did an Ask an Elmer where I mentioned it one time, and it intrigued me. I downloaded the software for it, but I've never had the chance to put put it into action. So, but it's what they were talking. I heard an example of it, And you have a 1K bandwidth that you're, you know, that sounds almost FM quality at times. I mean, you know, there's a lot of variations and conditions, but it's really good audio. And I don't know, have you ever heard that? Are you familiar with that at all? I'm going to throw it back to you for just a sec.
Yeah, QSO. Yeah, I had another comment I just threw in the text box there when you were done, you were over. Yeah, Paul actually got into D-Star on recommendation from myself. he got into it after persistent information from me. I've been into it for about 4 years myself. I know Paul's been into it now for close on a year, but I've been into it for going on 4 years, and it's just fantastic. I've never heard of that particular digital mode that you're talking about for voice, but the voice quality on D-Star over HF is just superb. And the same thing, like you say, when you're going through a repeater, or you can, you know, for a couple of $100, you can buy just a little simplex D-Star hotspot if there's no repeater in your area. That gives you all the functionality of the D-Star system and network through your own simplex hotspot. You just plug it into a USB port, and you're on the air with a handheld and one of those hotspots. You just don't need anything else. You really don't. And there are literally thousands of reflectors now you can connect up to that have a multitude of repeaters connected into each reflector, and then it's all online. You can go check it out at dstarinfo.com, and it's either dstarinfo.com or .org, and then there's another one, dstarusers.com or .org. One has the .com, one has the .org. I'm really not sure. Google will tell you for sure, I'm guessing. But then you've got all the listings of all the repeaters, where they're located, all of this stuff, and the radios actually do all of the programming for you now. You don't need to know where the repeaters are with the built-in GPS. It will tell you, give you the one closest to you, how far it is away, all of that stuff. It's just an incredible system, and you can start that off with just a simple handheld for a couple of $100. You can get an ID31, a UHF D-Star handheld, secondhand now for, I don't know, around $170 to $200. Beautiful little handhelds with built-in GPS and all of that stuff. And you don't need APRS digipeters. Let me drop it for a second. You don't need APRS digipeters for this particular network. It's all done through the built-in systems. It's just, it's an absolutely, I mean, I could go on about D-Star all night. It's my favorite mode. I work it day and night. I've got a D-Star HT just to the side of me. I'm waiting for a net actually to come on at 11:30, one that's called out of Spokane, Washington, and they get check-ins from, I think, maybe six different countries on that one. So it's an incredible mode. I mean, I can't say enough positive things about it. And even over HF, it's just absolutely incredible.
Darryl, I think you might have timed out. If you did, come on back when I get through here. I did not know you were the person that turned Paul onto D-Star. Well, you both speak so highly of it. It's compelling me, you know. So maybe we'll start it out with an inexpensive handheld and take it from there. It really looks cool. I know I've been kind of, you know, sniffing around with it for a couple of years now, it's intrigued me to that point. So maybe we'll take the next step. It really sounds good. I wanted to tell you that digital voice for HF that I was talking about it's a program called FreeDV. That's one word, FreeDV, which is digital voice for high frequency, and they have FreeDV nets. I do not have. I'm just scanning through the page right now. I do not see what bands those nets are. I wanted to say 80, but I believe there were some 40 meter nets as well. If you go on YouTube and you type in FreeDV, you'll hear a demo of this thing. They also have a 10 second demo. Or a demo on the website, I think, too. But I definitely know they have one on YouTube. It'll blow your mind. I mean, the bandwidth of the signal is 1 kilohertz, and it sounds awesome. I mean, you listen to it, and it's very natural sounding, very clean, very full fidelity, really, really, really good sounding. So it's impressive stuff. It's still in development. It's been kicking around for a couple of years, I guess. But from what I've heard, it's impressive, and I want to play with it. So as we branch our digital horizons out into D-Star and maybe free DV, a lot of cool stuff out there. So for those folks, by the way, that may be holding, say, technician tickets and what have you, there's some stuff out there that, you know, I mean, this is the opportunities available to you are mind-blowing when you consider the folks that maybe got their licenses 20 years ago or 30 or 40 years ago. There's stuff out there, there's technology out there that simply did not exist. And it was like Buck Rogers stuff back then. So there's a lot of really cool stuff to play with out there. Let me buy a nickel. This is KC2RMO. We're on the Saturday night rag chew. We're just talking about all kinds of stuff. And having a real good net here, too, by the way. And looks like everybody who's checked in up to this point has been talked to and talked back and the whole nine yards. So let's take another round of check-ins right now. As we continue, the
6, Victor.
Hey, Gordon, I'm there. I leaned forward, and I you have to see this. I leaned forward. I have this Microsoft headset, which I'm not thrilled with, but it's handy. I leaned forward. My belt buckle hit the switch on this thing. It shut me off. So, but hello there, sir. And welcome aboard. It is very good to hear you.
Thanks, Gary. All I can say is, wow. What a grand program. You know, I was half asleep watching the national news tonight, and then I heard Walter Cronkite number 2 come up here at 7 o'clock and open this thing up. And it's just been absolutely marvelous. You know, Gary, I have sat back here for months, and I think I probably mentioned this to you, is what we need is a dynamic NCS to open up these rag chews on Saturday and Sunday nights. And there you were. I mean, you were another Walter Cronkite. You were another Walter Mitchell, you know, on and on and on. And I am just so proud. I turned around and said to Kathy, I said, hit your record button. I want to put this one on the website. So watch out, bud. You're going to be there. KY6V, over.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You shouldn't talk like that because, you know, Steph won't be able to live with me for a week. Yeah, she's. I don't know if you can hear that. She's way back in her office doing a paper, but she said I can't live with you anyway. but thank you so very, very, very much. I appreciate that. It's just been a great net. I've been just enjoying the dickens out of it. Did you hear? I don't know if you were listening at the time. Did you hear the story of my FTDX?
Yeah, I sure did. Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not sure whether it came back to normal after its second recycling or not. But let me ask you a question, changing the subject for a moment. You've been just talking with Daryl up there in Newfoundland, VO1UKZ. He is going to be the prime moderator for our TIN program coming up here on March the 19th, Gary, which is a Thursday at 7 o'clock, Eastern Time. We're going to be talking about computers, Androids, mobile devices, and beta testing that he's gone through for Windows 10. How would you like to be the backup for that? Boy, that's putting you on the spot, isn't it? Over.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. Yeah, I'd be delighted. I really would. I'd be absolutely delighted, and I'm particularly interested in hearing about his impressions of Windows 10. And I think there's a lot of partial information and misinformation about Windows 10, and I'm really dying to hear the story behind the story, as I like to say. I'd like to get the deal on that. What's the deal with that? Because I know what I believe to be expecting in 10, and also with the upgrade paths and what have you. I'll tell you right now. I have an original Surface tablet, and I want to know if that's going to run 10. You know. Is that going to be offered as part of the free upgrade? Because really not happy with that. I like the tablet. I really do. But I'm not happy with the ability not to be able to run software other than the five titles they have in the store. You know, that stinks. So, mark me down for that. I'd love to back up. I'd love to participate. And I do hope that everybody that's within the sound of my voice, and I love saying that, everybody that's within the sound of my voice, tunes in or joins us, rather, on Thursday night for that TIN, because TIN's a really cool net. It's always been enjoyable, and some of the coolest stuff on South Car is on the TIN, so join us on the 19th for that. Gordon, back to you.
All right. Thank you for that, sir. I'm going to list you on the marquee. Daryl is a beta tester for Microsoft and has already gone through the Chinese fire and boat drill of looking over Windows 10. I get the impression that he's quite impressed. You know, there's some goods. There are some bads. But overall, I think he's very excited, Gary, over.
Well, it sounds, the way I understand it, was that it's kind of like Windows 8 the way they should have done it. They have taken some of those 8 features and made them usable, you know, so that that screen that and everybody hates becomes part of the start menu. It's like a contextual menu off the start menu and what have you. There's a lot of stuff. I haven't seen it. I have yet to see it. But we have Daryl here with a hands-on on that. And so I think that's going to be just a super net. I really do want to hear about that. As a matter of fact, Daryl, if you're there, and again, I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you give us a sneak preview of maybe what we're going to hear?
Yeah, QSL, Gary, I went over a few things this morning on the AM connection that there earlier this morning. But, you're right. And the good thing about Windows 10 that I'm figuring at this point is they're offering it as a free upgrade. Anyone that has a licensed copy of Windows 7 or Windows 8 currently installed on a tablet, a desktop, laptop, whatever, as long as it's not one of those pirated copies that you can easily access online, they're going to be giving it out as a free upgrade, which is different from Microsoft. Usually all they want to do is get their hands deeper into the pockets of the customers. But, it seems that that's going to be a positive of it. One of the good points that really stands out for me is the ability to create multiple desktop environments. They give you four multiple desktop environments that you can customize with different running programs for different types of situations is how I use it. Personal use, business use, you know, ham radio use, that type of stuff. And you can keep your programs, and running and separate. So it gives you, it's almost the ability, you know, to run four PCs simultaneously under one processor. Now it comes in handy if you have a quad core, you're going to be doing tricks like that. But they've taken the tile start screen away and incorporated some aspects of it into a traditional start menu. So they're bringing back the start menu, so that's a good aspect. Yeah, we'll get into all of that kind of stuff on the program on the 19th. I'm looking forward to it, and it seems you're going to be my backup for that program. So excellent stuff. We've definitely done a good job at keeping the various linked repeaters hopping here this evening, so I'm sure we'll do the same on the 19th. Back to you, VO1UKZ.
Well, I'm not sure what happened here. Thanks for that, Darryl. We're really looking forward for the 19th on this program. Who's gone? Okay. Gary seems to be jumping on and off. You know, that happens in Syracuse. You step outside, you step on the snow, and you say, oh, phooey. And you go back inside, and then you come back out. Gary, go ahead. Over.
I don't know if Gary must have fell off the map, did he, Gordon? I guess all of my last over got through, did it?
I don't have the text box up. What are you saying to me, Kathy? Is there anything in the text box? Okay. All right. Stand by, everybody. We seem to have a Syracuse snow technical issue. Gary, are you back with us? KY6V, over.
Gary has disappeared from the list there, Gordon. I'm not even seeing him as connected anymore. KY6V, VO1UKZ.
Yeah, I see that, Darryl. Okay. Well, look, it's been a good session tonight. We're, what are we? Yeah, 4 minutes after the second hour, so it's been good. Hey, I'm looking forward to this thing on the 19th, Darryl. We'll, I'll tell you what, if you put the program together, I'll get the 76-piece band and the red blankets. Over.
Yeah, QSL, well, I already started typing up the outline there this afternoon, so I'll get that off to you in an email over the next next day or so for the red seal of approval there, and we'll see what we can't do about putting together a good program. I listened to the last one we did there a couple of days ago for some ideas, you know, just so we weren't covering the same material twice kind of thing. So I'll probably give that another listen over the next couple of days, you know, just so you're not overlapping. It's good to keep a good quality of different programs and whatnot on the air, or on the website anyway, for podcast purposes and whatnot. So hopefully Gary will get back in here anyhow. I've got to take off for a few minutes, Gordon, but it's not going to be for long, and I'll be back in here. If Gary doesn't come back, perhaps you can call out for another round of how you doings and see who pops up. VO1UKZ.
All right. Thanks, Darryl. KY6V here. Let me look at my users list. I'm not seeing RMO back on, so he's got some ISP issues, I would assume. Been a great net tonight, guys and gals. Thanks, everybody that's been here. Any other further comments before we close, please? Over.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
There he is. Mr. Ohio, good evening, sir.
Well, I just want to reiterate that don't blame me for the cool weather hitting down north, south, because it looks like we're getting the warmth up here, so somebody's doing something right. 43 today and 42 tomorrow, and towards the 50s for a whole week. And that also includes nighttime temperatures above freezing. So it looks like all our snow is going to disappear, and doesn't look like any forecast for the white stuff anymore. Hopefully that's it for the winter, and spring will come in just as equally nice. Another thing I happen to see, let me drop for a second, As you know, I received the QST, or the, now you shouldn't say QST, well, yeah, it is, the 2015 catalog, calendar, and I saw a little highlight for, on March, on their page, and it kind of brings a little chuckle to me. One of the paragraphs under, and it's all highlights with 1953, televisions were beginning to appear in American homes, and hams were finding themselves as in the spotlight, and not in a good way. The issue of television interference to and from was becoming as serious enough that QST devoted a regular column to the topic of titled On the TVI Front. I saw that and I said, wow. They made it sound like hams were really good, but when television came out and hams were causing the issue of TVs not being so nice, well, somehow we end up being kind of like, oh, you're the bad guys. I think about that today and I say, wow, you know, all the great technology that has improved, kind of glad we don't have that issue today. And once you XP back to KY6V. And I see Gary is back up on the list.
Yeah, I saw Gary come back up. Well, I lived through those days, Rick. You know, we had band filters and all kinds of stuff that we stuck in our transmission lines to keep our neighbors away from any interference, and it went on and on and on. But I think that's pretty well passed. But nice comments. RMO, I picked it up, sir, because you fell off the snowy slip. Over.
You, sir, are absolutely awesome, and there's no two ways about it. I will tell you what happened. I, at first, thought that there was ice in my internet connection, and I was going to have to go out and thaw the darn thing out, but it turns out it was a little something more pedestrian than that. The battery in my keyboard died. So when I was pressing the push to talk, the control button on my keyboard, nothing was happening. And I'm like, and I couldn't, it took me a minute to figure it out until I saw, I have one of those keyboards that that lights up, you know, that has a backlit keyboard, but the backlight starts when you press the key. And I realized that the blue light wasn't coming on when I was pressing. And I said, ah, it's dead. So very quickly I grabbed a USB cable from a power supply and just plugged it in, and it's, you know, I got back on. But it took me a minute or two to recognize that. But, you know, that's an interesting bit of conversation there about the old days with TV and ham interference. Let me buy a nickel. Yeah, the fella next door, the fella that lived next door to us, Gordon, I think I've told you about him before. Worked for GE. He designed missile guidance systems with them. And he was a ham. And he was the guy, this is where I first heard Sputnik. He took me, you know, he invited me over to hear Sputnik, you know. But I could remember tuning that TV down, you know, just playing with the fine tuning of the control. And if you did it right, you could hear Mr. Davis on the air, you know. It was pretty cool. You could also do interesting things like get the police band on the TV. I think you turned it down to channel 2, I think, and you just kept doing that fine tuning till something came in. TV was a lot different and in a way kind of an adventure back in those days. It was kind of cool stuff. But yeah, I remember those too. Any comments, sir?
No, not really. But I've been there and done that. Well, that's good. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're back with your batteries working. Oh.
Yeah, we decided to bypass the battery. I got a little charging station over here on the desk, so I just grabbed one of the USBs and put it into the back of the keyboard. It's a wireless keyboard, but the batteries kind of go on this thing without warning. So, and that's exactly what happened. So, sorry, folks, didn't mean to do that. And but Daryl, it was really funny because Daryl was the outro to what Daryl was saying was, well, I hope we can keep things, you know, humming right along, something like that. You know, and of course, I was supposed to come back and say, yes, it'll be, we're humming right along right now. So what the heck? Well, things didn't hum so well, and it was kind of funny in that regard. But yeah, the best laid plans of mice and men are prone to battery failures. But Gordon, thank you so much for picking it up. And Rick, thank you for checking in. And let's take some more check-ins right now, since we're into well into the second hour of this thing. So let's see who's out there. We're taking check-ins on the Saturday night Rag Chew. This is South Cars, and I'm KC2RMO. Okay, nobody out there. Let's try it one more time. Anybody want to check in this time around? Okay. We'll just talk a little bit, see if we want to do a last round, and then maybe we'll call it quits. I'm not sure. But I did want to mention we do have that TIN coming up on the 19th with Daryl talking about Windows 10, and as we had mentioned that a couple of times, that is going to be pretty cool. I think there's a lot of people that will get a lot of use out of this. It's I had a lot of questions about it. I'm sure anybody that's using Windows 7 or 8 or RT is going to have a walk away with a wealth of knowledge from that, or certainly a good sense of direction. This is one of the things that Microsoft is doing really different, as Daryl pointed out. It really is different for them to offer an upgrade like this across the board. I mean, it's almost frightening. Apple did that. Apple has done that with the past couple of OSs. You can just if you're compatible, you can just download that sucker and put it on. And it's pretty neat. Microsoft is following that model, and I'm glad to see it. What I wanted to mention to Daryl when he was talking about the multiple desktops is that that's an old Linux thing where you had multiple desktops as part of the K desktop environment. That was something that's been around in that world for quite some time. It's nice to see it in a mainstream type of an OS like Windows 10. I agree with you that is one of the cooler things that you can do. Really, I really like that. And once you get into the ability to use that and find out how useful that can be, how handy that can be, you're going to love it. So that's just one thing, and I'm looking forward to. So really, friends and neighbors, we're at about a quarter way into this second hour. Let's just see if anybody else wants to check in. Other than that, we'll call it quits for the night. But it has been a great net so far, and I'd like to keep it going if we could. So if there are any check-ins, let's hear from you now or forever hold your peace.
Sierra United November.
We have S-U-N and anybody else? Nope, nobody else. Kath, come on aboard.
Well, geez, Gary, it looks like I'm all by myself with you. We had a great session tonight. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And I guess dinner is almost ready. But I did want to thank you for being there tonight. It was a very special session. It's still a recording. But tell me, Gary, when are you and Stephanie going to come down to this grand state of Florida to enjoy this sunshine that we have down here? You know, it's getting warmer down here. You know, it's not actually warm today, but this next week it's going to be, I've seen, in the 80s, 85, 86, you know, nice warm temperatures. So, Gary, Are there any plans in the future for them to visit down here to Florida?
Well, I have to wait for a few checks from the pyramid scam to come in. If the money looks good, we can start booking some passage, you know. We just kind of have to get through next few months here. So we may not be coming down for warm temperatures in the winter, but we will be coming down in the reasonably near future. So stand by for news on that. We were kind of talking about our summer travel plans a couple of days ago, and we don't have anything finalized yet, but we do want to make Florida. We do want to make a Florida trip, so that's for sure. The two things that are on the agenda for real this year, you know, that we really want to get to, are to get down to Florida and to go see another game at Progressive Field. Because somebody that we know net control here at South Cars is a very big Cleveland Indians fan. And besides, the food at Progressive is great. So thank you. It's K6SUN from KC2RMO.
Well, Gary, that's so funny. But we hope to see you down here in Florida soon. Actually, Mr. Roger and his wonderful wife, Charlotte, are in Florida someplace. They came from Pennsylvania, I believe, visiting family, and they're going to actually visit with Gordon and I sometime early in the week. And I've never met him, but Gordon surely has. So we always like our South Carolina members to join us here in Florida because we love the state and we like to share that. Tell me, Gary, before you close, because no one's talking here this evening, how are your classes going? How are Stephanie's classes going, and how busy are you?
Well, thanks, Kath. To answer the first question, I'm embarrassed to say how my classes are going, because I'm doing very well. I just got another citation for academic excellence and this whole thing, and both classes I got an A in, and you know, so far so good. I'm knocking on wood. I don't want to jinx a thing by bragging about it. So I kind of did, but but I'm just hoping for the best. It's really going well. I love Oswego State. It is a great school, and I can see why Al Roker is a big time alumni of it, because it is a super school, and I think anybody that's ever gone there. My son-in-law Dave is a graduate of Oswego, and he says the same thing. He just he can't say enough good things about it. So it is a great place to get an education. They have some super people on staff there, and you know, you just couldn't make a better choice in my opinion. Now, as far as my lovely wife goes, she is busier than a one-armed paper hanger. They have got her writing papers and posting and this and that and the other thing nonstop, and she's kind of knee-deep in one right now. But the good thing is, of course, that these are short semesters, let me just buy a nickel. So it is intense, but it's short, you know. But I think we were talking about this earlier today. She might take next semester off. It's really, really brutal. So I'm thinking that's a good idea for her. It can only be a good thing. So, but she's holding up well. It's just that it's a lot of work, that's for sure. But I'm thinking it will just be so great to see you guys again. Want to see the new house. Can't wait to see that. It's just going to be awesome. So, you know, once we get our ducks in a row, I'll be letting you know all the details on that. But it'll probably be, you know, towards the summer side of things. It won't be in the next couple of months. Back to you. It's K6SUN from KC2RMO.
Well, Gary, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And I know about the education and the doctoral. Very demanding. I think I've told you before, I got halfway there before I moved here. You know, Gordon's son is working on his doctoral, and he's pretty much saying the same thing. A lot of work. Probably worth it in the long run, though. But I'm not sure, Gary, at my age, whether I want to do that anymore. Very trying down here with education right now, testing, problems with the state maybe. A lot of jobs out there if you're ever wanting those in that area. But I did want to just see how things were going with you. You and Stephanie have a great evening, and hopefully you can get some more check-ins, but I'm going to go back out and check that dinner and see how things are going. So back to you, Gary, and I'm still recording, by the way. Have a great evening.
You too, Kath. You both of you guys enjoy a great dinner, and great to hear from both of you. It's been way too long, and hopefully we can get a few more of these rag twos in, because I do enjoy them. Let's call this the last time around unless things happen, okay? So I'm just going to throw it out in case somebody wants to come back in with something. We'll do one final round of check-ins, or we'll keep it going if enough people come in, but let's see who's out there. One more round of check-ins on the Saturday night rag chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars. Okay, I'm a no-hear-nothing, Mr. Giuseppe, so what we'll do is thank everybody who checked in tonight for your participation. It's been a really good net. I've enjoyed it immensely, and great to hear from all you guys. And don't forget, we've been talking about it a lot, but it's going to be a terrific TIN, the Windows 10 TIN coming up on the 19th with Daryl. That's going to be good. But let's make it official. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIP net schedules and general information may be found on the VoIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been KC2RMO saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.